Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this Policy and Resources Committee on the 14th of March 2019. The time is now 6:30, so we will commence the meeting. The first item on the agenda is the emergency evacuation procedure. I can confirm that there are no planned fire drills this evening. If the alarm goes, it is for real, so please use your nearest exit. Item 2 is apologies for absence. Please can I ask the committee clerk and to inform the members about any apologies.
Chairman, we've received no apologies.
Thank you. Agenda item 3 is declarations of interest. Do members have any interest to declare under the Code of Conduct? No, in which case we'll turn to agenda item 4, minutes. So the first minute is detailed on page 3 of the agenda, which is that of the Policy and Resources Committee on Thursday, the 7th of February 2019. As chairman of this committee, I move the minutes as a correct record, which is seconded by the vice chairman. Do members wish to comment on these minutes? No, in which case we'll proceed to the vote.
Chairman, that's 9 votes for and 1 abstention.
Thank you. So the minutes are passed. The next item on the agenda is to consider the recommendations from the Grants Working Party held on the 5th of March 2019, outlined on pages 9 to 14 of your agenda papers. I will now ask the chairman of the Grants Committee, subcommittee, to briefly, Grants Working Party, should I say, to briefly introduce this item.
Members, please will you accept the minutes of the Grants Working Party, and if you want any questions, please you would like to ask me.
Okay, there are no questions, so Steve,
yep.
Are you going to move the recommendations?
I'll move the recommendation.
Okay, can a member of the Grants Working Party please second that, please? Thank you, Councillor Vapor. We'll now proceed to the vote.
Excuse me.
Sorry. Are you not a member of the Working Party? No, in which case, Councillor Val Arnold, I'll take you as the seconder through custom and practice. So we'll now proceed to the vote.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Thank you. So that is carried. We'll now turn to agenda item 7, which is urgent business. I can confirm that I have no urgent business to declare this evening. Agenda item 8 is the capital monitoring programme, outlined on pages 15 to 16 of your agenda papers. I will now ask Anton Hodge, the Chief Financial Officer, to briefly introduce this item to members.
Thank you, Chair. Members will recall that as part of the budget agreed a few weeks ago, we also agreed the capital plan, and I said at that stage that the capital plan was very little change from what had been approved before, other than some reprofiling, and that we would spend some time now revising that and looking at the various schemes within it. And that will happen within the first few months of the new financial year, i.e. starting very soon. So you will recognise most of this. What I've brought to you today, just as part of ongoing commitment to ensure that you're kept up to speed with how we're actually doing in spending the money, this is the monitoring report showing spend today and therefore the impact on this year's original plan and therefore carry forwards into the new year before we do that work in refreshing and reviewing the entire capital programme. So that's it essentially. It's there for noting and shows the position as we are at this stage, but more work to come.
Thank you. Do members have any questions on this item? Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Anton. These reports are really helpful and for members to understand and get a grip of our capital programme. I'm quite concerned about the Milton rooms and the assembly rooms, and I notice that it is actually in the capital programme. I don't think that we've actually spent enough on the Milton rooms, and I think it's something that the council needs to be aware of, that there's many things that need doing, and I think it's our responsibility. And I'm just looking at the budget in there, and I just wondered if you could break that down a little bit. Maybe you don't have this information tonight, but as to what actually this money is going towards, please. Anton.
Okay. The money that's there within the capital programme that's set aside for the Milton rooms is a mixture of two things. Part of it is the ongoing maintenance allocation that's been in there for a number of years, but also some additional funding was set aside 2 years ago as a potential for match funding. So that essentially is how it's made up. At the Resources Working Party, you asked for a breakdown of what had been spent, and we're preparing that note to come out as along with some other questions around the Milton rooms.
Just to add to Anton's answer, the full council did agree a provision for the Milton rooms, which was subject to match funding. Unfortunately, and you know, it's with deep regret, that match funding was not successful, and so any further spending of those monies will need to go back to full council. However, the intention is that when a decision goes back to full council in relation to what to do with that provision, all the information will be provided to members. You've already seen the briefing paper that was sent to the Resources Working Party, so you know, this is going to be one of the key decisions that the next council will have to make early within that cycle. Sorry, Councillor Burr, supplementary.
Thank you, and thank you for that explanation. It's very helpful. It's just very worrying that we haven't spent enough money on the Milton rooms to date, and I'm not convinced that we are putting enough money in there to maintain and keep it going. And you mentioned that you were going to produce a report. Is there a timeline on the report, please?
The report will come to the next council early in that cycle, so you'll probably be looking at either the June or September meeting.
If I may, Chairman, isn't that rather a long time?
I think one of the issues is that the grant funding was not successful, and I know your point about the underinvestment in the Milton rooms, and one of the key ways to tackle that was through securing the funding, through the through the lottery fund. That, you know, like I said, with deep regret, was not successful, and so now we're at a juncture where we need to decide the way forward. And clearly, when you're deciding the way forward, it's right that you get all the information, evaluate the options. And I think one of the lessons that this council has learned from previous decisions is that they need to be fully costed as well. So we've got all the information available. So that's why it is taking time.
Thank you. And if I could just come back on that, and I appreciate everything that you are saying there. And it is regrettable that that bid wasn't successful. However, we have a duty, and have had a duty for many, many years, to maintain and upkeep the Milton rooms, and we have not been doing that. And I just think that it's an awful long time to wait. All I'm asking for is, what actually are we going to spend this money on? That's all I was asking.
Councillor Vapor.
Thank you, Chairman. Appreciate what's been said by other members and yourself. The comment was just made that we're not honouring our commitment. I'm afraid this is a legal document that we're talking about here, and they would have heard something fairly clearly from other quarters had we not been keeping to our commitment legally on the spend. I'm pretty sure that somebody would have said something by now to the negative on that, if that were the case. I can understand the passion that sometimes at this particular subject raises with different people, but we have an obligation to commit ourselves to a spend.
Have you got a question, please?
Well, the question I'm coming to is, our obligation is to adhere to the conditions of that agreement. The question is, are we adhering to the conditions of that agreement fully?
Okay, so one of the actions arising from the Resources Working Party is to provide a statement on all of the spend that has been spent on the Milton Rooms over the past few years. I can confirm that significant amounts have been spent on the Milton Rooms just in relation to maintenance. We all know that there is room for improvement in terms of the Milton Rooms' current state. For example, I believe it's got three boilers, all of which are not necessarily in good condition, but that was part of the bid which was put forward, which, like I said, unfortunately was not successful. This council therefore has a decision how we proceed forward. There is a provision in the budget for the Milton Rooms for several hundred thousand pounds. That does go nowhere near towards funding the scheme in full. So the question is, you know, for this council after the election, what do we do? Do we continue, you know, putting money into the Milton Rooms as per the budget? Do we look to increase that, or do we look to do something else? These are important decisions which members will have to make. Any further questions? Okay, in which case, as Chairman, I'll move that we note the capital programme, which is seconded by Vice Chairman. Do members wish to speak on this item? Councillor Burr.
I think it's important that we all realise how significant the Milton Rooms is in Moulton and the whole of Rydale. And I think this council wants to think long and hard about changing anything of what we do with the Milton Rooms. I think the brakes have been put on the majority of the spending because of this bid. However, as I've said, for years we haven't exactly put as much money as probably we should have done. Like in this particular building here, we haven't actually invested in this building. And if you don't invest in buildings, the natural thing is that, oh, they're decaying and they cost so much money, and the best thing to do is to not let them carry on or not keep them open. It would be an absolute tragedy if anything like this happened to the Milton Rooms. And I'm really, really disappointed that we can't have something brought forward much, much sooner.
Thank you, Councillor Raper.
Thank you, Chairman. We are bringing forward a report to members, and I think it's premature if we decide to try and do something this evening without that information in front of us to guide. One question I'd like to have included, if we can get the answers back from it, is the usage, the people who use this particular facility, where do they come from? Who are they? What sort of demographic and geographic location do they come from to use this? The comment's just been made that it's wide of Rydale. I have residents that I represent that live over 60 miles away from here. It takes half an hour to get here, who never come to Moulton ever for anything. And for leisure, they just wouldn't even contemplate to do so. There's other locations closer to them, far bigger and more closely aligned to the way that they live, that's far closer to them. So I want the spend that's going to be put on into this building to be relevant, if we can possibly get that. So where the people come from who use the facility, I think, is a valid question. If it can be included in that inquiry, in that search, to bring back to members for a clear picture, if we can, please, I'd be very grateful for that.
Thank you. Councillor Thornton.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not fully aware of what the accommodation is in the Milton Rooms, and I don't know if other councillors have had the opportunity to take a tour around the building. But for those of us who haven't got a great familiarity with anything other than the main hall, would it be possible to have a conducted trip around, shown around by somebody who's got an insight into buildings, their maintenance and their problems?
Yes, absolutely. That will be arranged in the new council, because naturally there will be new members, one would expect, to this council, who would also, I would assume, benefit from a tour. So I'm sure the Deputy Chief Executive will pick up that action. Councillor Cowling.
The fate of the Milton Rooms will be one of the biggest decisions that the new council has to make. It's a massive liability for this council, and it's regrettable that it ever became our responsibility, but it did, and we have that responsibility and we'll have to deal with it. We've been grappling with it for many, many years, and this latest failure to get the grant funding was really, really disappointing, because it would have meant that the Milton Rooms would have become something that was a benefit to the whole of Rydale, which was what we hoped would happen and why we were willing as a council to put so much money into it. What I do think is that if the Milton Rooms stays as it is, all it is virtually a village hall for Moulton, and we're a council that represents the whole of Rydale. And we're going to have to look for a solution that is equitable to the rest of Rydale. You could spend nearly everything we have as a council in our reserves on putting the Milton Rooms right. You'll get a shock, Tim, when you go around there. It is a massive, massive place. Parts of it are semi-derelict, and they need massive amounts of work to make them usable again. It's a very difficult place to make it usable as a whole, because it's on different levels. It's like a rabbit warren. And yes, I would recommend that you do go around, but there will be parts that you can't gain access to because they are so difficult. But yes, very big decision to make for the new council. But I hope in our new Deputy Chief Executive, we've got somebody who can grasp this and really find a solution for it, because it's been hanging over this council for far too long. I can find another half dozen jobs for you, but there you are, there's your first one.
Thank you, and Councillor Cowling will be aware that a report has already gone on this matter, which is an early stage report to the Resources Working Party, which I hope you found it enlightening. I certainly did, because it contains interesting information. But clearly, like I said, further work to do. I don't think anyone would deny the potential of the Milton Rooms. You know, it's a magnificent building, and it's a shame the state that it is in. The question is whether it's worthwhile basically spending our entire reserves, you know, those reserves which we have accumulated over the past few years. You could almost spend every penny in the Milton Rooms, and still there would be more work to do. Or whether you take the middle route, you know, invest some money to keep it going, or alternatively you could look at other solutions. But like you said, this is going to be very much a decision for the new council, and it's going to be a very important one. Okay, so unless anyone else has got anything to add on this item, we're going to proceed to the vote, which is on the capital programme and all the elements of the capital programme, and it's simply to note the report at this stage. Thank you.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Okay, many thanks. We'll now proceed to the next item, agenda item 9, terms of reference of working parties and subcommittees outlined on pages 17 to 34 of your agenda papers. I will now ask the Democratic Services Manager, Simon Copley, to briefly introduce the report, and afterwards questions will be received from members.
Thank you, Chairman. This report came to Policy and Resources Committee a few months ago and then got referred to the Resources Working Party for more detailed consideration. And as part of that, we consulted the Council's solicitor about legal implications and also had further discussions with the Chief Executive, and the report was rewritten. It went again to Resources Working Party last week, so those people who were there will be familiar with it already. And some of the key points in terms of the rewrite, we spoke to the Council's solicitor about political proportionality requirements, which are legal requirements, and making sure the wording in the proposed terms of reference attached to the report don't contravene in any circumstances political proportionality. We also looked at how meetings are called and tied in the existing provisions in the Council's constitution so that they would apply to calling working parties and subcommittee meetings. At the Resources Working Party last week, an additional recommendation was added to those that are in the report, and that minute was circulated yesterday to members of this committee. But I'll just read out the additional recommendation, which was that meetings of the Constitution Working Party be scheduled when future timetables of meetings are drafted. So that was a fourth recommendation, in addition to the three that are in the report, which the Resources Working Party recommended to this committee for consideration. I'm happy to take any questions.
Yes, just to confirm, that is a suggestion which has come from the Resources Working Party. This report is an officer report. It's come from the Democratic Services Manager. So if members wish to move that amendment, which has been suggested by the Resources Working Party, it can be moved this evening. It can be added to the recommendation, provided it is accepted. However, the recommendation that we are voting on is the officer recommendation, and this is an officer report. Councillor Burr. So I will come to you once we've moved and seconded and we enter the debate. At the moment, we are in questions. Any questions on this item? No, in which case I will move as chairman of the committee, which is seconded by the vice chairman, Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Although this is an officer report, it was very well received and discussed at the previous meeting. So I'm quite delighted, really, that we've actually added some things that quite a lot of members have been asking for quite some time. So I'm very, very happy to vote with this recommendation.
Thank you. Councillor Thornton.
Thank you. Regrettably, I wasn't at the working party, for which I apologise. But I see that the Constitutional Working Party scheduled when future timetables of meetings are drafted. We have, of course, got an item which has been sort of submerged for a couple of years out there in the long grass, which may come to an early flowering in summer. But I just wonder whether we should be actually having a pattern of meetings at least yearly, so that it's not lost again into the long grass of the next council.
In relation to that point, I've explained that I have not considered a need to call a meeting of the Constitution Working Party under my chairmanship. I think it's very well publicised that there will be a new chairman of the Policy and Resources Committee, whatever the outcome of the election next year. And so I'm sure the chairman of the committee at that time will consider whether it's appropriate to call a meeting or not. You've seen the recommendation which has come from the Resources Working Party. Like I stated at the beginning, it's open to members this evening should an amendment wish to be proposed. Okay, if members do not wish to speak on this item any further, we'll proceed to the vote, please.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Thank you. We'll now move on to agenda item 10, curbside recycling service. Additional funding proposals to increase recycling outlined on pages 35 to 40 of your agenda papers. I will now ask Becky Bennett, the Delivery and Frontline Services Lead, to introduce this item.
Thank you, Chair. To remind the committee that in June last year the Council approved a motion to increase recycling over the next 2 years, and also to proactively raise awareness across the district on what the residents can actually recycle now. And I've reported several times on this motion since that date. The report tonight proposes a number of recommendations, which are largely centred around ensuring there is sufficient capacity to collect increased recycling, which is predicted as a direct consequence of reminding residents of what they can recycle on the current curbside recycling scheme. Just to point out that the recommendations do not take into account any potential changes to the recycling collections proposed as part of the new resources and waste strategy, and at recommendation 6 it does state there that officers will continue to work on the potential impacts for this council, and further reports will be presented to elected members in due course. So moving to the recommendations, the three new recycling vehicles that we are operating with now give us increased capacity and compaction and the ability to introduce area-based rounds. However, if we do an awareness campaign, there is confidence that the current capacity will not, the vehicles will not be able to cope with the increased recycling levels. Therefore, to ensure we do have sufficient capacity, it is recommended that approval is given to purchase a fourth vehicle. This will then ensure we've got increased resilience, and as well as covering routine servicing and any breakdowns, it will also give us the opportunity to look at increased recycling. At this point in time, it is difficult for us to forecast with confidence what the increased tonnage levels will be. However, there is high confidence that the fourth vehicle is essential to ensure service continuity and successful implementation of the new rounds. The recommendation is therefore an increase in the revenue budget, which would be £100,000 in one complete financial year. However, in 1920, the cost would be in the region of £45,000. The lead time for a new recycling vehicle is approximately 7 months. Therefore, the proposed plans to implement the new rounds would be to coincide with the delivery of the fourth vehicle. As part of implementing the new recycling vehicles, it's also been necessary to do an updated risk assessment in terms of how we currently collect the recycling, and it is also proposed that we move away from bags to ensure safe manner and handling and introduce boxes, and the recommendation for the purchase of these vehicles is included at recommendation 3. And it is also proposed that to refurbish the current mini recycling centres, because it's some time since we invested in these to actually promote recycling to our residents. The recommendations also do change the current household waste collection policy, and at recommendation 4, this is reflected in the need to change from the bags to boxes, as I've already outlined, and also, when requested, to actually supply more equipment to residents, whereas currently we limit that to one piece of equipment per household. I've raced through the recommendations. I'm happy to take any questions, but that outlines the proposals this evening.
Thank you. Before I go to members for questions, I've actually got one myself which has only come up today, hence I haven't spoken to you about it yet, Becky. However, when travelling around Norton early today, it was like a bomb site due to the storm gala. It had blown the plastic all over the place. I can remember trying to drive down the road and it was horrendous, and you had cars going all over the place, and I'm sure it's been an absolute nightmare for the collectors on the streets going around having to pick everything up. So not good. Would we be able to easily fix plastic tops onto the existing recycling boxes to prevent rubbish from blowing everywhere?
Yes, we do provide lids, and we also have nets, yeah. So that is something that we could look at as well.
Okay, how many people, how often do we give lids out? Is it on request?
Yes, it does tend to be on request rather than standard issue.
Okay.
The boxes that I'm talking about actually for the paper and card does include lids.
Okay. Because my current thread of thought is it probably makes sense if we're doing a mass rollout of new boxes to also deliver lids for the existing boxes to prevent the chaos that we've seen today, which is of no fault to the council. It's really bad weather, but it would prevent an awful lot of work, but also it would promote a clean environment, because whilst we'd have to invest in plastic lids, I'm sure that you've had many containers blown all over the place, potentially into fields or elsewhere, which are now going to decompose and damage our street scene. Right, I'm going to go to members. Councillor Wainwright.
Just on that point, Chairman, my understanding is that we have lids when we have the boxes on our property, but I understood that the instructions we were given was when we put the boxes out for collection, we had to take the lids off. Is that not correct?
That isn't the instruction, actually. What we've said in the past, but it's a long time since we've actually reminded residents about how to recycle, so that will be part of the campaign, is actually the box that people put glass in is actually smaller than the box of plastic and cans, and it's designed to sit on top so it keeps the materials in. So there's various ways of doing it, and that's why we do also have lids and nets. Operationally, putting lids on the boxes can slow the crews down, but it is something that we can include in the awareness campaign to the options that are available.
Councillor Vapor.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. On the same point, I've got lids. I always leave the lid on when I put my boxes out, and I've got a big block of wood, planed off wood. It's big, it's heavy, and it sits on top, so it keeps the lid on, because the lids can blow off if there's nothing on to hold it down. So I weight the lid down. The guys that come round and empty and clear away my boxes take and just took the lid off. The weighted block falls on the floor, the lid sits on top of it, and they turn the boxes upside down and sit them on top of that. And so nothing blows away afterwards either. So that's always a potential. Once the boxes are empty, the boxes themselves are liable to blow if it's like been today and the past few days and even tonight. So there are ways and means, but I think a reminder would be very, very good news.
Councillor Val Arnold.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, I ain't got a lid anyway, so that's fine. I haven't got any lids. I just wondered on the recommendation 1-2, on little 3, it says a capital budget totaling £100,000 for the procurement of 25,000 blue boxes. Could you just clarify, is 25 blue boxes, is that one for each household in Rydale? Oh, is it really? Right.
Apologies. The £100,000 is split into two. It's £75,000 for the boxes, which are £3 each. So that's £25,000. So yes, that is for every household to replace the bags with boxes. and then 25,000 for the refurbishment of the recycling centres. Yes.
Councillor Gardner.
Same subject there. Can you describe 44 litres? Is that half the size of the bins, or the three quarters of the size, or a quarter? How big is that, 44 litres?
It's the same, similar size to the black box that we currently have for recycling. They're 40 litres, so it's slightly bigger than the black box, but smaller than the bag.
Gosh, that's a lot of investment for... What's the risk of the ordinary blue bag, then?
The way that the crews empty them, they're having to take the whole weight in the their arms and shoulders and throw, whereas with the box it can rest and tip, so it's a lot safer.
Can I make an observation rather than a question? Thank you, Chairman. I just wonder if 44 litres is enough then.
We've weighed the boxes, so it's a safe weight to lift. As I'm saying, if we give residents more boxes if they would like it, then we would be able to do that.
Thank you.
Yeah, obviously health and safety is a huge concern, and the last thing we want is people pulling a muscle through manual handling. I've got a few people have indicated, so it's Councillor Burr, Councillor Duncan, then Councillor Cowling, and then Councillor Thornton.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Becky, for this report. I think it's really good that it says proposals to increase recycling, and I hope and sincerely hope that the next council, whoever they may be, will carry on this and hopefully will be better at recycling. So my questions are, the recycling stations, the ones that are, say, in the car parks, etc., what would we be exactly doing to these stations? And you mentioned the new vehicle. Are we going to buy a new vehicle, or are we going to hire, lease, or what with a new vehicle? Thank you.
I don't know if you've had a look at the mini recycling centres recently. The banks are quite old and tired and look quite dirty, and we don't brand them. So it's doing some branding. And to make them, to clean them up and tidy them up so that we're promoting recycling in a positive way.
Thank you. Could I just have a supplementary to that particular question? Yes, I do go quite a lot. The one in the Norton car park is particularly worrying me. Yeah. Every time I go, I cannot actually get anything in. Bags and boxes are just left. And it's clearly not big enough. So that one in particular is worrying me, and there are several more that are worrying me. And I think if we're going to be serious about this, I think, and we're going to encourage more people to recycle, and we don't want people to get in their cars, to go to another one if they can't find the one that they've been to that is full, what we need to do is we need to expand those and really keep an eye on them, because you are right, they're a bit of a disgrace at the moment, and they really do need sorting out. But what worries me is that whenever you go, they seem to be full. So that shows that they're not up to capacity. So if you could just bear that in mind, that would be very good. Thank you.
Yes, and then to come back on your second question, we would lease the vehicle.
Thank you.
Councillor Duncan.
Two questions. My first one is on the, obviously it's quite a significant spend on these 25,000 blue boxes. We are waiting for this DEFRA strategy to come out, I think, and to know the full implications of what the government want councils to be doing. Is there likely to be anything in that which we can anticipate which might contradict perhaps heading down the road of spending this significant amount of money on a box for paper? Is there something which might come out of that which means that actually that's redundant and they want us to do something else, basically?
The new strategy is being consulted on at the moment, and there's a number of important suggestions being proposed. In terms of implementation, that could take a year or two or three. And for health and safety reasons, it's the immediate need to change the current collection system, because the risk assessment currently is presenting the bags as a higher risk than we would like to continue with, hence the proposal now. The strategies, looking at new ways of like a single collection, but what Bridewell currently does is one of the more popular ways of moving forward. But as you know, the authorities recycle into bins, like rather than having boxes, having bins. Our current recycling service is one of the best, the single stream, and source separated, because of the value of the recycles is high in terms of onward recycling. So I can't say that what the government proposals are going to definitely mean what we're doing now is the right thing forever, but I do believe that at the moment this is the best solution for Rydell from a health and safety point of view.
And my second question was, what is the plan to... What's our plan for the actual plastic bags that are going to be made redundant? What will be happening to those? Will we be trying to recycle those, collecting them back up, or will they just be left with residents to do what they would like to do with them, basically?
That's a good question, actually, in terms of how we actually decide what we're going to do when we replace the bags with the boxes. What we've done already as part of the trial with the crew who helped us with the consultation with the staff in terms of what the way forward is. We delivered the boxes when we'd emptied the bags and took the bags away. I would propose that probably is what we will do. One thing that we also have are some boxes that we trialled a few years ago in Malton and Norton, which are slightly different. They will be recycled back with the manufacturer who will be supplying the new boxes.
Councillor Cowlin.
Sorry, thank you, John. Keep me straight. I probably should know the answer to this, but where are we finding the £100,000 extra revenue cost?
Yeah, is the provision in the budget that we've set. So it was noted as a cost increase, and we've already taken that into account.
Good. It's not another £100,000 on top of the budget we've set.
No, it isn't.
Good.
Councillor Thornton.
Thank you. Just to back up what Becky's saying about the risk of the blue bags, because I've always been concerned about holding that one strap, shaking it into the bin lorry, and the paper not coming out, because then you've got a weight at speed and you're going to try and block it with your shoulder. So the risk to the shoulder is quite significant. I'm also thoughtful... as Councillor Duncan, about the timing of this, with the potential for the consultation, DEFRA consultation, to suggest that we should be doing something else as well as what we're doing at the moment, and will the vehicles be fit for purpose in terms of that additional collection? Is there an option to just bide some time until we see what's in that consultation, or is it going to take years and years and years before they make up their mind?
The timescale for some of the changes is set out in the strategy for example, food waste collections from 2023. The current vehicles we have would actually accommodate food waste in the front compartment as an option. We've already... taken delivery of three new recycling vehicles onto the fleet, so we have the vehicles now. So to add to the fleet, the recommendation is to get the same vehicle, because otherwise we can't implement the new rounds. If we went to go to a single stream in terms of recycler, it's how we operate that across North Yorkshire, because there's a look there to see whether as North Yorkshire authorities we move to a single collection for North Yorkshire. So the timescales are not within months, it's years, to look at modelling, which is happening now. And once that modelling's done, if we were to implement that, then that would take another year or two. So in terms of timing, to increase recycling now for Rydell, that's why the recommendation's being now made now, and then we can plan following the consultations in terms of what we do next as a council, and it may be by then we're clear about what our options are. But for Rydell to implement, say, a three-bin recycling service, we would need a material sorting facility in the district, which we don't have. That's why we have the source separated at the curbside now. So lots of work to do, and you maybe could argue that our vehicle replacement programme didn't time very well with the waste and resources strategy, but we have made the vehicles that we are operating with now last longer than they should have done, really. They are getting very tired, which is why we've got the new vehicles, and hence the recommendation this evening.
Thank you. And I always like to live in hope. Is there any possibility, has it been looked into, of having an electric vehicle or some non-fossil fuel vehicle to be that fourth vehicle?
I'm aware that there is actually an electric refuse collection vehicle in the country. I'm not aware of a recycling vehicle. I can't give you any more details on that, but I do know there is one electric refuse vehicle actually in production. Whether it's available to us right now, I wouldn't like to say, but these are, just to be clear, these aren't refuse collection vehicles. These are recycling vehicles, which are different.
Councillor Steve Arnold.
You mentioned lids or nets. Is it more appropriate to have a net than a lid? I don't have a lid. If lids blow off, it doesn't. The nets not hook on better, so they don't blow off.
The nets are very good, actually. Yeah, they weren't rolled out as part of the scheme when it was introduced 5 or 6 years ago. But we do have nets, and it's something that we can promote. This is through the awareness campaign. I think they're the sorts of things we can promote with residents.
Councillor Wainwright.
Thank you, Chairman. Did our new recycling vehicles replace the same number of old recycling vehicles?
No, as it is detailed in the report, we have operated with four operational recycle vehicles plus one relief. The new rounds, which we haven't rolled out yet, were based on three vehicles plus a relief. So there's an efficiency saving on the one vehicle. The new vehicles have a much increased capacity and will allow us to work in an area-based approach. However, they're based on the current tonnages we're collecting. If we promote what we recycle, officers are not confident that we would be able to collect it with three vehicles, hence the recommendation for the fourth vehicle.
So could you just remind me, what percent of our waste do we recycle now?
The current recycling level runs at 46%.
Thank you. I believe everyone's had opportunity to ask questions, so now I'm going to move the recommendation, which is seconded by the Vice Chairman. Do members wish to speak on this item? Councillor Vapor.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, thank you, Becky, for this magnificent report. Very enlightening and very thorough. As usual, given us the information that we need, we're waiting for DEFRA to make up some of their mind as to what they want to do next, and that's holding us in abeyance in a certain respect. And I see the reasoning for your fourth vehicle, and I can't fault it whatsoever. In fact, I'll be very, very keen to support you on that particular aspect of a fourth vehicle for resilience purposes alone, and to make sure that we can keep the things rolling on the road where they're supposed to be, where they have to be, to actually do what they're designed to do. So I'm quite content with your report, and there's nothing in there that seems to be sticking out like a sore thumb that needs attention. So thank you for that, Chairman.
Thank you. Any other members? No, in which case we'll proceed to the vote.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Thank you. So the recommendation is carried. As confirmed earlier tonight, there is no urgent business, so therefore close the meeting.